Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, the text this morning we're looking at is from Exodus. And just highlighting chapter 34, verse 5, the Lord came down. It's a favorite Christmas trivia question of mine anyway. How many angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds? Now, there are a lot of popular answers, like a great company of the heavenly hosts, a multitude of heavenly armies, a vast amount of others, as the Living Bible puts it. But I saw a couple people hold up their finger. What's the real answer? One. Just one. The sudden company of hosts that came, they're the ones who came in with glory to God in the highest. But when it came to announcing, well, what was the fulfillment of centuries of prophecy, announcing the pivot point of all of human history, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, was announced by one measly angel. But that does tell us a lot, doesn't it? It does tell us a lot about the power, the aura, the authority of even just one single angel. And you know how it went. A lot of you from the past might know the old King James Version, so I thought I'd share a little bit of that today. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were sore afraid. Sore afraid. Literally in the Greek, it's mega fear. Maybe that communicates it a little bit better than sore afraid. Mega fear. And, well, that's the usual reaction to the doxakiriou, the glory of the Lord. Not just as it shone on them. It wasn't like there was just a light that was shining. In fact, the Greek talks about that it was the glory of the Lord shone around them. And that that verb that's there, we get two words from it. Perimeter. So you think around, and lamp, shining. So it wasn't just like a little bit of light off in the distance shining on and casting a shadow. It was around them, this glory of the Lord. Unmistakably terrifying. Even and maybe perhaps especially for those shepherds who were there in the hill country, on the fields around Bethlehem. Because from little on, they would have known of the Kavod Adonai, the glory of the Lord. And it was a fearful thing. This was the same glory of the Lord that, if you might remember the story of Nadab and Abihu, they were the sons of the high priest. And we don't know exactly what happened, but they came in and didn't really care what they were doing. And the glory of the Lord consumed them. It was the same glory of the Lord that could potentially take out the high priest if on that one day every year the high priest didn't follow every action to the letter. It was the same glory of the Lord that struck fear and terror into the hearts and lives of rebellious Israelites and enemies of Israel. I mean, let's be honest. Just the phrase, the glory of the Lord, could cause a cold sweat in the heart of many an Israelite. And so here they were, not just having the glory of the Lord shining on them, but surrounding them on that first Christmas. Not the safest thing to look for it, to ask for it, to try to identify it, to hide from it. I mean, that's not certainly going to happen. I mean, when you were in the glory of the Lord, you knew it. There was no, is that it? Or is this what I'm looking for? I mean, you just knew the glory of the Lord was there, and it was surrounding you. It was undeniable, and there was one reaction. Mega fear. Terrified. Sore afraid. And yet, in our first reading for today, what do we hear? Moses saying, okay, Lord, show me your glory. asking for it, of all things. And it's not like Moses and the Lord were, you know, sitting out on the back porch, sharing a few stories, maybe having a beverage or two, enjoying the moment. Here's what was going on when Moses asked. Moses had spent what amounted to nearly 50 days on the top of Mount Sinai. He had gone up, entered the glory of the Lord, waited for almost a week before the Lord actually appeared to him. Then they spent 40 days talking about all the rules and regulations. God handed him the tablets, and then he said, okay, Moses, you better get back down there. Because if you know the rest of this story, what was going on was the Israelites had started to rebel against the Lord. They got sick of waiting. They made a golden calf. They started worshiping it and prostrating themselves and all kinds of things. And Moses had to come down and lay down the law. He was furious. And God was furious. In fact, God was so upset that he was just going to wipe out the Israelites and start a new nation under Moses. And Moses, whoa. Hang on here. And he ended up talking with the Lord. Reminding the Lord about who he is, who his people were. And through it all, the Lord was teaching Moses what true leadership was. Moses interceding on behalf of the people. The Lord changing his mind. Recommitting himself to his people. And it's in that moment that Moses says, okay, show me your glory. We don't know if Moses' request was a good one or not. We don't know if it was right or wrong. We just know that regardless, the Lord received the request, honored the request, and taught Moses a little something about the glory of the Lord. The very same lesson that would be taught in the hills around Bethlehem 1,500 years later. Keep in mind, here's Moses, a week after waiting for the glory of the Lord on Mount Sinai, spending 40 days right in the midst of the glory of the Lord. No death, no fear, everything great. But now in this moment, after interceding with the Lord, who was going to bring divine wrath against God's people, he had just sought and received recommitment from that very same Lord to lead his people into the promised land. And Moses wanted to see. He just wanted to see some sign, something from the Lord, that the Lord would make good on his word. And graciously, the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord in your presence. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, you cannot see my face, for no human may see me and live. An author by the name of August Pieper explains it this way. He says, as often as it appeared, the glory of the Lord was an impressive, visible testimony on the part of the Lord himself, either of his grace toward the people or of his dreadful earnestness, which will not allow his grace to be mocked. In other words, there's a lot to fear of the Lord if you're mocking him and his grace, his love for you. If you're rebelling against that, the Lord is going to chasten in his holiness. He is going to uphold all of those arrangements and precepts and ordinances given by him for the temporal and eternal good of his people. In fact, he warns Moses that you can't look at his face and live. So for his own protection, the Lord devises a plan. We call it anthropomorphism. You know, God doesn't have a body. He doesn't look like us. And yet, in this moment, he describes it in such a way. He says, I will walk before you. And Moses, there's a little cleft in the rock here. I'll have you stand in the cleft of the rock, and then I'll cover you with my hand so you don't take the full frontal glory of me. And I'm going to walk past, and as I walk past, I'll pull away that hand. And guess what? You get to see just my backside. Now, for some of us, that is our better side. But for the Lord, that is the most that Moses could handle. And so Moses beheld the Lord's glory. Here we are, 1,500 years later. And I don't know how much different it really is. We know that in that day the Lord came down in the cloud. He took his stand there with Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and overflowing with mercy and truth, maintaining mercy for thousands, forgiving guilt and rebellion and sin. Yeah, chastening holiness, but compassion and grace. On full display 1,500 years later, as an angel of the Lord appeared to those shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And there he is, in all his goodness, the Lord come down, passing in front of us, the Word incarnate, God with us, for us, and our salvation. The very glory of the Lord shining in our darkness through the Christ child, that we may be surrounded with light and filled with life in the Son of Righteousness, getting our glimpse of such glory without fear for our good and the good of our children after us. Full of grace and truth, he is Christ the Lord. What a gift. Glory to God in the highest. Amen.